just want to set the tone for today with a kind of a short video clip. So if you turn your attention up to the screen for just a few minutes.
Do not see patients on vacation, ever. How many ways can I make that clear? Now, what I'd like you to do is to get on this bus and go back to New York.
I can't. I'm totally paralyzed. I'm all locked up.
You got yourself here.
Barely.
Well, getting back will be therapeutic.
But can't we just have a little talk?
Bob, you are testing my patience.
Come on. I've come so far. Bob. I'm baby-stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby-stepping. I'm not a slacker. Check it out. Look at it. I'm in really bad shape. Come on, please.
Bob.
Please.
Bob.
Give me. I need. Give me.
Okay.
Please.
All right.
Gimme. I need. I need to be in a church where I'm being fed. I need to be fed. You ever heard that before? You ever said it before? Guys, I mean, I've said it lots of times. But the question is, where do we ever come up with that? You know, where do we ever come up with the idea that a mature believer in Christ needs to be fed? Well, I know how it started for me. It started with a guy by the name of Robert. And I'm going to try to be nice with our sound guys because I have a tendency to get a little bit carried away with this particular story, but we'll try it nonetheless. Actually, it was a long time ago. It was the very first Bible study that I'd ever led. I was like co-leading it because there was this 70-some-year-old retired pastor that had convinced me that I should maybe start leading a small group. And I was resistant to that because I didn't feel like I'd been around long enough. And I didn't really know the Bible well enough. But I figured, well, okay, if Pastor Darrell's going to sit in there with me, he can like be the authority, and I can just like facilitate the group discussion, and that should work out okay, right? So that's how it worked, and it worked really well, except for this one particular night. One of the guys in the study brought a guy with them, okay, Robert. And Robert had all kinds of questions and all kinds of problems and all kinds of doubts about Christianity, about the Bible, I mean, about everything, okay? But he never really brought up any questions. He never brought up anything while Pastor Darrell was there, right? So he waits until after Pastor Darrell leaves, and then he starts grilling me, okay? And he's like, what about this? What about that? You know, what about these? What about the Aborigines out in the outback that never heard of Jesus? And what about those that died before Jesus even came? What about them? And I'm like, okay. And now, I'd read the Bible before, okay? But I was still pretty new to it. And so these verses are coming to mind that I know that I've read, and I want to show them and point them out to them in the Bible, but I can't find it. You know what I mean? So I'm starting to page back and forth like this, you know, I'm looking back here and here, and he's just still after me, you know, and he can tell that I'm starting to get nervous, and I'm starting to get frustrated because I can't find what I'm looking for, and so it just starts getting louder, you know, and more of it. He goes, what about this? What about that? Also, you know what? All of a sudden, something inside me just snapped, okay, and the old rod came back out. And so, now Nicole, she was used to the days where I had these anger management issues, you know, and she'd seen several angry outbursts before. Okay, so by the time I snapped my Bible shut and I declared, I've had enough of you, she was already on her feet, starting to move towards me, screaming out, no! But by then, it was too late. You know, I was in full-blown attack mode at that moment, and so I start moving towards Robert, and he recognizes that it's probably not a good thing, and so now he's on his feet, and he's trying to get to the door. Right? But even with Nicole now hanging on my arm, I'm able to cut him off. Okay? And I start screaming at him. You're in my house. You're coming into my house. You're going to disrespect me in my own house? You're not going anywhere, buddy. You want answers? You're going to get answers. You're going to sit down. You're going to be quiet. You're not going to say anything until I give you the answers that you came here for. Right? And now he's backing off, and he's actually on the other side of my kitchen table. Right? And we're doing this little dance. Nicole's hanging on my arm like this, but I'm moving this way, and he's moving that way, and I'm moving this way, and he's moving over or that way, and I start to move back this way, and all of a sudden the guy that brought him, now he's in my face too. Right? He's like, you need to calm down. And Nicole's like, no, let him go. And they got me kind of boxed in, and so Robert uses that as his means to get away. You know, he escaped. You believe that? Let him get away. Now, it didn't take very long after that, as you might imagine. Pretty much everybody else that was left of that Bible study, they left pretty quickly after that as well. Okay, so now it's just Nicole and me. Okay, and she's just like shaking her head, you know, looking at me, just shaking her head. I can't believe you. I can't believe you did that. How could you possibly do that? What is the matter with you? What gets into you? Now, this is the time where a guy should probably say, yeah, I'm sorry, you know, I just blew it. But I was kind of a prideful guy at that time, and so if you're a prideful guy, you never say you're sorry. Right? Instead, you justify. Right? So I'm like, this guy is a tool of the devil. He came here to disrupt our Bible study. You know, he's a fool out of me. You know, he's lucky I didn't get a hold of him. Right? Because really, that's what it was about. It was about my pride. It was all about me. Right? It was about me. And so we got into a big argument that night, as you might imagine. And as I was sleeping on the couch, I resolved myself at that very moment. It's like, you know what? That's never going to happen again. Nobody's going to get under my skin like that again. Nobody's going to pin me down like that. Nobody's going to make me look foolish. You know, say, it's me, right? It's all about me, right? Because it was all about my pride. And, but even God, you know, God can even work pride, you know, for good in us, okay? And so one of the things that came out of that was I started to study the Bible. Okay, not with passion, not with a purpose, not really with like a vengeance, right? Because I want to get back at Robert. You know, every time I see him, he's gonna get it. Okay, and so I'm studying that. But the funny thing was that the more scripture I memorized, the more prideful I became, and that marked the beginning of what I call my Pharisee period. Okay, and what's really cool about church, guys, you've been around, you know. You can always find somebody like you. You know, it doesn't matter where you're at, it doesn't matter where you're coming from, it doesn't matter what you're carrying around with you, it doesn't matter what you got going on. You can always find somebody else like you, right? And so it didn't take me very long, and I was able to find other prideful guys like me, you know? They had the same thing. They were all about memorizing Scripture, all about building ourselves up and making us look really good, you know what I mean? And that's where I first heard that, okay? I need to be fed. I need to be in a church where I'm being fed. Yeah, I heard it from these guys, and I kind of like these guys. I'm like, wow, that sounds good. You know, I started saying that. Yeah, I need to be fed too. Yeah, I need to be in a church. I'm being fed. Yeah, I need that. I need, right? And so I started doing that. Yeah, I started hanging around these guys, and mostly we were just like building each other up, right, putting other people down. And that's where I actually heard this next one that comes up on the screen, you know. I need to be in a church where I'm being fed meat, not milk, right? Because I'm meat eater, we're carnivores, right? Like those bottle-drinking, milk-drinking bottle babies. You know, we need something, you know, solid and chew on when we go to church, right? Because that's what it's all about, right? It's all about us. And so I spent a lot of time with these guys. You know, we would get together and we were just sharpening the old sword of the Spirit, waiting for my next shot at Robert. Now, believe it or not, Robert never did come back to Bible study. And the guy that brought him, he never came back either. But I'm thinking, well, you know, there's plenty of others out there that could use a good dose of the truth, that could use a good conviction of their sins, a little wrath of God stuff. And I'm like, yeah, there's plenty of guys out there. And I'm like, wait a minute, wait. I should probably, you know, before I go out there convicting the world of their sin, I should probably make sure my own house is in order, right? You clean your own house first. And so I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I should start with my own house. And what better place to start than with your own wife? Right? So I start to use my newfound Bible skills with Nicole. Right? Now, Nicole was a good Christian woman, and even at that time, she was serving in the church, and she was ministering to other women, you know, and she was sharing her faith all the time. But she really wasn't reading her Bible. You know what I'm saying? She really wasn't reading her Bible all that much, and so she's like an easy target. Okay? And so every time we get into an argument, now, I don't even need to pick up this, because now I got a lot of it stored in here. I can just bring it up from memory. You know, I start to beat her up with the word. You know, she's going to argue with me. I'm like, woman, you need to submit to your husband. Read Colossians chapter 3. You read that, you already know that. Or you can read it in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives submit to their husbands as is fitting. And don't even think about trying to deny me your body. Don't even think about withholding. That would be a clear violation of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And, guys, if you really want to score points with the wife at home, you open up the Bible to Proverbs 31, okay? And you just kind of point out to them how they're falling a little bit short of the standard that God set for wives, right? A good godly wife, this is how they are, and honey, you're not measuring up. They love that. Not. Okay? So, actually, it got to the point where Nicole actually hid my Bible. Can you believe that? Now, here's a woman that had been praying for me for years that I would come to Christ and that I would start to develop an interest in reading the Word of God, and I would start to develop an interest in going to Bible studies, and she had my Bible. Okay, so I come home from teaching school, and there's always a little bit of time in there between the time I get home and dinner, you know. And so I did what I always did, you know. I went to my desk, I'm going to open up the Word, maybe read a couple of chapters, maybe work on memorizing another verse, yeah. And my Bible's not there. So I hollered down at Nicole. I'm like, "Nicole, you see my Bible?" She's like, "Yes." "Do you know where it's at?" "Yes." "Would you mind telling me?" "No." "I hid it." I mean, "What do you mean you hid it?" "Well, you're not using it the way you're supposed to. You're not using it the way that God intended." "What do you mean I'm not using it the way that God intended?" He goes, "Well, God intends that you're going to use it so you can love others and examine yourself. And all you're doing is loving yourself and examining others." I'm like, "What do you know about it? You don't even read the thing anyway. Give me my Bible back." And she actually did. A couple of days later, but with now some new verses highlighted, right? Some of those little sticky notes stuck on my Bible. Can you believe the woman's writing in my Bible? Okay? Now, guys, one of the ways that you can recognize when you're a prideful guy, I mean, a couple of things. Prideful guys, like you said before, they never say they're sorry, right? And the other thing you do is, if you're prideful, you never admit when you're wrong. Okay? So even though she was right and I was wrong, I'm certainly not going to give her the satisfaction of admitting that, right? And so I never did. Now, one of the things you have to know about Nicole is Nicole's a fighter, you know, if you ever know her. And she wasn't about just to let me beat her up, you know, with the Word of God all the time, okay, without being able to put up any kind of a defense. So one of the good things that came out of it was Nicole started reading her Bible, and she started to memorize Scripture as well. Okay? And I guess I can tell you, we had some great Bible battles back in those days. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was like really cool. Except the bad thing was she was starting to become more like me. And I wasn't serving in the church. I wasn't ministering to anyone else. And I really wasn't sharing my faith all that much. You know, I felt it was like my job to convict other Christians that they weren't doing their part. Right? And so mostly I was putting down others that were doing those kind of things. And I even got to the point where I'm like bad-mouthing the church. Right? Because I'm not being fed. You know, after all, I'm a meat eater. I'm a carnivore. Or was I? Well, okay, so we're going to take a quick look at what the Bible says about being fed. And if we look first at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants. You were as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now, you're not yet ready." Okay? And then we look at Hebrews chapter 5. We read, "You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you. You're like babies and need milk, can't eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right." So you notice anything about those verses that talk about being fed? There's only a few of them in the Bible, okay? And it's never really addressed in like a positive light. You know, Paul basically says, if you need to be fed, you're an infant, okay? You're a baby. And guys, as far as I thought I had come in Christ, that's what I was. I was a baby. I was acting childish. I was acting selfish. I was being a baby. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't this mature meat-eating Christian. In fact, if you are a mature Christian, you should be looking more and more like Jesus every day, right? I mean, that's the goal. That's what we should be working towards, okay? And so we read, Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others." See, a follower of Christ serves. Christ came to serve, you know? Christ sets the standard for mature followers, right? If we're a mature follower of Christ, we should be serving. If we're a mature follower of Christ, we should be more and more like Jesus all the time. And we also read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, "But while knowledge makes us feel important, it's love that strengthens the church." Now, guys, knowledge of Christ is important. Bible studies is important. In fact, it's essential. Okay, knowledge of Christ is essential to our walk with Him. It's essential to our faith. It's essential to our relationship with God. Okay, it's not knowledge that's a problem, but it's the reason that we seek knowledge that can be a problem. Okay, and so I have to ask myself, You know, am I really seeking the knowledge of Jesus so that I can become more like Him? Am I really seeking the knowledge of Jesus so that I can serve like He served? Am I really seeking the knowledge of Jesus so that I can love like He loved? Or is it all about me? Am I just doing it so that I feel important, so that I can feel built up? Okay? That's the question that I always got to be asking myself. You know, we read in John 13:35, and this is Jesus again. He says, all people will know that you're my followers if you love each other. That's how you can tell. Okay? Now, there's lots of ways that we come to church to be fed. Okay? Lots of ways. And so I'll just share with you my latest struggle. It's like there's always something going on. God never leaves, give you a break for long. Okay? But this one I've been really wrestling with for probably about 3 years. Okay? And I have a men's group that's met in my house for probably 10 years at least, maybe longer than that. And over the years, there's been a lot of guys that have come and gone. Okay? But there's like this core group of guys, you know, they've been with me like forever. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, they're my guys. Yeah, we've been around together long enough that you can tell by just looking at a guy, you know, he's got something going on, right? He's got some struggle that he's dealing with, some burden that he's carrying, or maybe some sin that he's in. You know what I mean? And we've known each other long enough, there's this respect enough to allow another guy to challenge you, right? Hold you accountable, you know? And enough respect that when he does, you take it the right way, you know? And enough courage and love between each other that you can challenge another guy, you know? It's a really cool thing. It doesn't happen overnight. It's really something special. But about 3 years ago, God started to convict me. You know, you need to cut these guys loose, you know? Because a real disciple maker doesn't make disciples for himself. You know what I mean? You make disciples for Christ. And just like Christ did, eventually you take the disciples and you send them. Right? You commission them and go out to do God's work. Okay? And I was just holding on to these guys. You know, I was making disciples of myself. You know, so God starts to convict me. He goes, you need to commission these guys. You need to send these guys. Right? And I really, really resisted that. And it's not because they're not ready. My gosh, these guys are all ready. They're more than prepared. They're more than able to lead their own groups, you know, and have their own studies. You know, that's just how they are. But I kept struggling with God. I'm like, Lord, I need these guys. I need these guys. They got my back. I got theirs. You know, where am I going to find guys like this? I need those guys. And every time God responds the same way. You know, others need them more. You know what I mean? Because certainly with those guys, I was feeding them in some ways. And guys, they were feeding me in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. You know what I'm saying? You know, but it's not about me. It's about God. Right? And it's not really about being fed. It's about being equipped. And so if we turn back to Scripture again, look at Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 11, it says, you know, and Christ gave gifts to people. He made some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to go and tell the good news, and some have the work of caring for and teaching God's people. Christ gave these gifts to prepare God's holy people for the work of serving, to make the body of Christ stronger, for the work of serving. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we read, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See? That's what we're supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about being equipped. It's supposed to be about the work of God. It's supposed to be about serving. Okay? That's why you have pastors. That's why you have teachers, so that you can be equipped to go out and do. Okay? Not just to be fed. Okay? And because if we read in Ephesians chapter 2, now verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. See, we're created to do. We're created to do good works. God prepares in advance to be doers. Right? And that's why God gifts pastors, He gifts teachers. Right? And that's what we're about. Okay? That's why we're here. Okay, so that's why you're here. You know, that's what the church is about. So let me ask you another question. So how long do you think it takes so that you're equipped before you can start serving, right? I mean, how long? How long do you have to sit there being fed before it's your turn to go out and feed somebody else, before it's your turn to start serving? Okay? Well, probably next to Jesus, maybe one of the greatest teachers and preachers of all time was the Apostle Paul. Right? Apostle Paul, during his 10 years as a missionary, he planted 14 churches. Okay? Only 10 years as a missionary. By the way, the other rest of his ministry he spent in prison. Still encouraging those churches, writing letters to them, which is where we get most of the New Testament from, right? Okay, so the question is, how long, on average, does Paul spend equipping the church before he says, okay, you guys are ready? Yes, you don't have to. I'll help you out with that right away. On the average, he spent about 3 months with a church. 3 months. Okay, the longest he ever spent with one particular church was the church in Corinth. He spent 2 years there. 2 years, okay? And the church in Thessalonica, he spent only 3 weeks. Okay, so now, let's take a look at these two churches. Which do you think Paul liked better? Okay, the church in Corinth, where he spent all that time, 2 years with them, or the church in Thessalonica, where he spent only 3 weeks. Okay, well, let's read what Paul has to say about these two churches. Okay, so we read in 2 Corinthians, so he's writing another letter to them, by the way, which is where this comes from. And just to kind of give you a background, he promised to come and see them again, right? But he changes his mind. And so he's telling them why. He's not going to come. Okay, he's not going to come by you this time. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Now I call upon God as my witness that I am telling the truth. The reason I don't return to Corinth is to spare you from another severe rebuke." Okay, and then he goes on in chapter 2, and he says, "I won't be grieved by the very ones who ought to give me the greatest joy." Okay? Here's a church where he knows if he's afraid of what he's going to find when he goes back there, because he already knows. They're waiting for Paul to come back and feed them some more. Right? And they're sitting there. They're doing nothing. They're not serving. They're not witnessing to others. They're not doing the things that they're supposed to do. He says, "I don't want to have to come back and yell at you guys again. I don't have to come back and correct you again with this. You know, you guys, I was there for 2 years. At this point, I should be coming back, and it should be a pleasure to come there. I shouldn't be dreading it. I shouldn't be grieving over coming to see you." Right? So that's the church in Corinth they spent a lot of time with. And then there's the church in Thessalonica. Right? So we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, "You imitated us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all believers in Greece, throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God." And we don't even have to tell them. He's like, "Yes, you guys got it. I was there for 3 weeks, and you guys got it. And now you're out there serving. You're out there witnessing. They're doing the work that the church is supposed to be doing. After 3 short weeks, they become an example to all the other churches in Asia." He says, "Look at these guys. They become imitators of Christ. You know, they were serving. They were witnessing." Okay? And guys, what would have happened to God's church if the church had become like the church in Corinth, if all of them had been like Corinth, sitting around waiting for Paul to come back and feed them? Okay? And so the final set of questions here has to do with us, you know? So what about us? What about Lamplighter? You know, what kind of church are we going to be? You know, a church like Corinth? Or a church like in Thessalonica? You know, are we going to be a church that serves? Are we going to be a church that witnesses? Are we going to be a church that are imitators of Christ? You know, are we going to sit around waiting to be fed? And of course, since the church is us, I guess that means also, what about you? You know, what kind of a believer are you going to be? You know, one that needs to be fed or one that needs to be equipped? You know, and I'm kind of mixing with words here a little bit, and I don't want to have a lot of questions between services or after the, you know, after service, or, you know, I don't want Pastor Paul to get any emails over the course of the week, guys. But I think he talked to you last week about the power of words, and a lot of the power of words is it affects our attitude. You know, and there's a whole difference in an attitude where I want to be fed and the attitude that says I want to be equipped. You know what I'm saying? And it's in the words, but it also affects our attitude, because that fed thing, that's kind of a selfish thing. And the equipped thing means that eventually, right, I'm going to go. I'm going to be sent. I'm going to be commissioned. I'm going to do God's work. Okay? And I'm going to leave you with one last thought here. And it's actually not mine. It's by a guy named Erwin Lutzer. He's a Moody Bible guy, so Leighton probably is familiar with him. But he says, and I quote, "God doesn't need your good works. God doesn't need your service. But God's people do. God's people do." Okay? Now, this feels a little bit awkward, but I'm supposed to make a couple of announcements at the end. And one of the things that I've noticed, guys, over time is as soon as you amen that last prayer, everybody's like packing up and getting ready to leave. So these announcements are fairly important, so I'm going to put them in here now, and then I'm going to pray afterwards. If it seems really weird, it seems weird to me too, but we're going to try it anyway. Okay? So I got two announcements. First is Wednesday nights, Christianity 101. If you're fairly new to the faith and you're looking to be equipped, that's one of the best places that you can go. Right? Starts at 7 o'clock Wednesday nights, and they started last week, but it doesn't matter. There's a lot of standalone lessons you can drop in at any time and learn. You know, you can be equipped through that. And so, guys, I'm going to invite you out, you know, if you need some of that equipping. Okay? And the other thing is we have a communications class. It's actually starting next Sunday evenings from 6 until 7:30 for about 5 weeks. Okay? And the reason why this announcement is important is because we have to order some materials for that. And so the absolute deadline for registering and signing up, and there's a sign-up sheet out front, is Wednesday the 9th. Okay? And I'll be really, really sad about it, but there won't be anything I can do if you come after that. I'm going to have to say, you know, sorry. Okay? So Wednesday for that communications class. Now, guys, if you'd join with me, let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much, Lord, for just the opportunities that you give to us. And sometimes we get a little bit selfish, and sometimes we get a little bit childish, and sometimes we make it about us, and we make it about what we need. But the truth is, Lord, you've supplied everything that we need. You know, what you did on the cross for us, Lord, that's taken care of all of our needs. You know, and because of that, Lord, we desired to serve. You know, help us to be a place where we can be equipped to serve. Where those that come here, Lord, when they leave, they do feel that they being equipped. They feel that they've gotten stuff that they can't wait to go out and share with the world, that they can't wait to go out and minister, that they can't wait to go out and be your hands and your feet, to be your love out in this world that so desperately needs you. And Lord, that's our prayer, and we're going to pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a great Sunday.